Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wild Free Will podcast. Today, I am here with a question. I want to open up a conversation and have a dialogue. And I want to have a dialogue about this idea of being addicted to drama. And this conversation stems from something really silly, actually, which is me trying to find a new TV show to watch. So, yeah, it's basically I have been looking for something to watch, and I've gotten a lot of suggestions, and you know, I just wasn't really feeling a lot of what was being suggested to me, and I gave some shows a chance, and I was not really a fan. And part of the reason why I wasn't a fan is exactly what we're going to talk about today. So, I was watching someone's stories on Instagram, someone who's pretty famous in my industry, in the coaching industry, and they made a comparison between the TV show on Netflix called Ginny and Georgia with Gilmore Girls, and that kind of had me sold. Gilmore Girls is one of my all-time favorite TV shows, and I thought that it was really interesting. So, and Ginny and Georgia had also been recommended to me by other people. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a chance. I think it's important to keep in mind that Gilmore Girls has a very specific sort of, I don't want to say demographic. It does as well. But what I'm trying to say here is it has a very specific energy. So Gilmore Girls is like drama light. So a lot of what happens is kind of quirky or kooky or fun, and it's really, really lighthearted. So if somebody is comparing Ginny and Georgia to Gilmore Girls, I'm going to assume that the conversation and the topics that they deal with are also equally light and kind of bubbly and fun and whatever. No, that is certainly not the case. So I got into a couple of episodes. I think I made it halfway through the first season and I literally had to stop. And it kind of brought on this conversation because in me trying to find a television show, I was not able to really find anything that I liked or connected with because everything is so full of over-the-top drama and death. Those are basically our options. And so that kind of led me to this thought, like, why are we so obsessed with drama? And While I understand that not everything can be, you know, like that, and life isn't this just kind of fuzzy kitty inspirational poster or like a sunbeam parting through the clouds with a proverb or a Bible passage underneath, I understand that that's not realistic. But at the same time, why are we constantly just inundated by the most negative aspects of society in our entertainment? So entertainment, literally, like, it's trying to keep us, I mean, entertainment to me would be fun, it would be happy, right? And I feel like so many of our shows now are simply none of those things. And I think that one of the things that nobody's really talking about or thinking about maybe even is the fact that these shows and your engagement with them or our engagement with them long term has an effect on our mental health. And there's those of us who are more sensitive to this and those of us who are less sensitive. I am extremely, extremely sensitive to negative images, negative topics, negative anything. I have to be really mindful about what I filter through my system and what media I choose to engage with because of this fact. And I have been like this for a really long time. So just to give you a little bit of a backstory, and I'm not telling you this because I necessarily just want to share like a piece of my past, but I am sharing this because I realized this about myself when I was 16 years old. I think actually even younger, if I was to really do the math properly, I think I probably would have been around 15. And why I want to share this story is because I want to encourage you to look at your own life and to look at your own history and see if anything that I'm sharing also applies to you. I am not using the term highly sensitive person. I don't really fully understand what that means, and I'm not totally sure that I buy into it. And also because I see that, like, 90% of the population is highly sensitive now. And that could very well be the case, but I think that if we are highly sensitive, it's likely because we are choosing willingly to inundate ourselves with these negative messages. So, anyways, I'm not using any kind of terminology. I am just sharing my experience in the hopes that it connects with you. When I was 15, 16, I remember being in grade 10 sociology and, social studies. And social studies was kind of like the Canadian version of history class. And the teacher was forcing us to watch The Pianist, which is a movie about the Holocaust. And it was just, I asked to be excused, basically. I remember the scene like it was yesterday. I don't think I will ever forget it. At one point in the movie, and I'm sorry if this is a spoiler for you, but at one point in the movie, they take all of these men and they line them up on the ground face down, and they just go and they just shoot them one by one. And like, I can't even say it without crying. Like, because I think that was like my own sort of like, to use a very, very buzzwordy language, that was kind of like a micro trauma for me. Like, I was 15 years old and seeing this scene made me physically ill. And at that point, just to finish the story, I walked out of class. I really didn't like my teacher. I had very little respect for him. I tried to speak to him about not wanting to watch the movie and asking to be excused from class because I was also doing other things in high school. I had shit to do that I could have been doing during that time for some of the committees that I was on. And I just didn't need to feel like crap. And I had known already, because if I'm not mistaken, The Green Mile actually came out not long before that. There was another movie, Saving Private Ryan. Now I don't remember, but that I had watched with my family when I was really quite young. And even that left this like really lasting impression. And even now, talking about that scene from The Pianist with you, sharing that, I can feel my heart is racing and I have a literal weight on my chest. So, unfortunately, for the way that I am made, I am not able to engage with any kind of content about war. I am not. That's not true, actually. Not any kind of content, any kind of visual content. Visual or audio content about war just does not land with me. It makes me physically ill, and it makes me ill for days, especially if I watch it. I mean that very seriously. Like, I get nauseous, I get very anxious, and it's something that stays in my system for a really long time. Now, I want you to remember that the first time that I really connected the dots with this, I was 15 years old. So we're not talking about somebody who even was fully formed as a human and is having these kinds of realizations. And at the time, I wasn't getting a lot of support around it. Like, my mom understood when I told her. Also because my mom always was very much on my side when it comes to not listening to teachers or not doing what I was being told for the sake of being, just because I was being told to do it. So that was really important, I think, at that time. But this is something that I've known about myself for a really long time. And for that reason, I also do not watch the news. Now, I can read the news, and that's how I tend to inform myself, is by reading. But I also don't like to read necessarily long form articles, because I feel like a lot of what is being given to us, especially in 2023, especially like in contemporary media, whether that be news or fiction or whatever, it doesn't make a difference, is extremely sensationalized, extremely, extremely sensationalized. And it is done so on purpose. It is done so with an intention, a very clear intention. The news, with the music, like even the dun 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 dun, that kind of like sound that it makes, sort of like a bugle horn from like back in like Renaissance or medieval times or whenever they used the bugle horn. That kind of sound is used to trigger a response in our system. It stresses us out and it makes us, I mean, pay a little bit more attention, yes, but even that, the reason why we are being asked to pay attention to these negative themes is to put us at a disadvantage, meaning we are listening to these negative stories constantly. The news at this point really doesn't even talk about anything positive anymore. Like, I remember when I was younger, towards the end of the news segment, they used to have some kind of sort of like, and a fireman saved a puppy from a tree or whatever. They used to have these kind of positive stories, and I feel like they have those less and less now. And And the reason why is because when we are in an active stress response in that way, and we are afraid, because that's what the news tends to do to us, is make us afraid. Sorry. When we are afraid, then we are a little bit numb to what is going on around us. And it's easier for us to kind of just stick with the status quo and move forward. We get stuck in almost like a feedback loop that we're really not able to escape from, because we're not able to have full control and sovereignty over our mindset. Okay, now I've branched off. This is not what I intended to talk about when in talking about the news, but I think that the negativity is the same. It's still relevant, okay? Because if we look at the landscape of television shows that are available to us now versus television shows that were available to us 20 years ago, the tone and the depth and the darkness of these shows has shifted. So we have actual horror shows now, so like American Horror Story, and we have a lot of like post-apocalyptic war stories like The Last of Us, The Walking Dead. What else is another really popular show? Shows about drugs and crime, so Breaking Bad, any crime shows like Law and Order, but now even Law and Order has shifted because it's not just about people dying, it's become even more brutal. Criminal Minds was also another show that's, in my opinion, very well done, but is incredibly triggering. That's another show that I've never been able to watch because it was way too realistic, and they had episodes where children were committing crimes, and that for me was just a non-starter. Like, I can't engage with that kind of content. That just doesn't make any sense for me. And so like, and then when we're not talking about cops and guns and death, we're talking about hospitals and death. So we have Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire. We have The Resident. We have House from 100 million years ago, even though House, I think, was one of the lesser negative TV shows that were about the hospital kind of setting. And why I'm saying all of this is really to ask a bunch of questions. Number one, are we actually addicted to drama? Okay, what are we getting from watching these shows? Why are we interested in watching this kind of entertainment? Is it really just a case of like, well, that's all they're giving to us? Because we vote with our attention. So what we choose to watch, we say, yes, this is okay by me. I'm giving this my stamp of approval, right? It's like what they say about supporting businesses. Like you vote with your money, right? So with the attention economy that we find ourselves in, be that social media, be that streaming services, because now there's 7 million, every single company has a streaming service. Like, we're going to go broke buying all these things. We used to think that television, at least in Canada, was really expensive because you always had to have some kind of service. And now, if you think about the television services and then all of the streaming services on top of that, like, it's astronomical how much we're paying. And we are paying to be inundated more or less by negativity. And the other side of that is obviously extreme positivity to the point of almost naivete, which would be like Hallmark movies and stuff like that. And any of the shows that kind of fall under like this sort of like finishes with a happy ending sort of deal. And if I have to choose, I'll be totally honest with you, I'll call myself out. I much prefer to watch Hallmark than to watch something where people are constantly dying, or in the case of Ginny and Georgia, there's a lot of like self-harm, there's like a lot of drugs, a lot of drinking, underage drinking and stuff like that. And underage drinking really doesn't bother me. I think that's just a fact of life at this point. But I think it's about the why. Why are these kids drinking? Like, even when I was growing up with the OC and Gossip Girl and whatever, what was the point? I think with Gossip Girl, they were trying to pretend to be classy. And with the OC, it was very much like self-harm as well. It was like numbing and not wanting to be present with our reality and so on and so forth. And the kind of discussion that I want to have goes beyond just why this exists in the first place. And why it exists is, I think, to a certain extent, a discussion of control, because when we are inundated by negative images, it leaves a lasting impression on us, and it makes us more susceptible, I think, to doing kind of what we're told, or sticking with the way things are, or not having a very positive self-belief about ourselves or about the world around us. So I do think that there is a little bit of like underlying motive. And I can't say, because I can't understand, okay, this is all just my opinion, I cannot say that these shows are just simply to entertain, because I don't see how death and crime and like self-harm, I don't see how that's entertaining. I just don't understand that. That's not that is not for me. And as we move forward, it feels like it's becoming ever more extreme, and the kids are drinking and having sex younger and younger in our media, in our entertainment. And so another question that I've been thinking about is, why is it all or nothing? Like, why isn't there some kind of middle ground? And what are the long-term effects of this on us? Because there are long-term effects, period. I remember when I was growing up, I was 13 the year that the OC came out. I was 3 years younger than the main characters were supposed to be. And that was a very, very, very impressionable time in my life. And anyone who knows me back then knows that I was obsessed with the OC. I still am, kind of, to be honest with you. It's one of my nostalgia things. It's one of my safe spaces if I really think about it, because it's so tied to that time period of my life. But so much of my personality was influenced by what I saw on the OC, the way I dressed, like the clothes I bought, absolutely, the music that I listened to, the media that I engaged with. If they were talking about books, maybe I would look into them and stuff like that. And like, so much of what I gained from the OC, what I learned from the OC, sticks with me to this day. And we are talking about 20 years later. This year is the 20-year anniversary of when it came out. It's 2023. And in August, by the way, it came out in August of 2003. That's how much I remember. That's how much it has stuck with me. I can say the entire first season off by heart, but that's neither here nor there. But my point is that these things are, these TV shows, especially if they come at a specific period of our life during our teen years, it can have a really big impression on us. And Ginny and Georgia is a show that features a ton of self-harm, a ton of really negative body image, so much sex, and really young sex. These kids, I don't think, are even 16 yet. And while that may be a reality in our society in general, that children are having sex younger than 16, what I don't understand is the value of putting these kinds of images in children's heads. So a child that has never encountered self-harm, has never come to that conclusion themselves, right? We're not in the emo phase. Like, when I was in high school, that was very much a thing. It was everywhere. It was in music. It was in all of the pop culture of the time, at the time. Now we're not really in that phase. So my concern, and I was talking to another friend of mine about this, about another coach actually, about this. And like, I don't see the value of showcasing self-harm to a very susceptible demographic of society. Children or teenagers who may never have considered self-harm but are now seeing it, what are the long-term effects of that? And regardless of Ginny and Georgia, regardless of your age, if you are watching TV shows about negativity, death, kidnapping, all of these things, medical illnesses or disease over time, any show that talks about the pandemic, why did they choose to put that into our entertainment? Because they wanted to like root the television show in reality. We're not watching TV because we want to engage with reality. That's exactly my point that I'm trying to make in this episode. We're not engaging with television or any kind of media because we want a dose of reality. We are watching television to escape and to numb. And that is another discussion altogether. It's not why I'm here today. It is certainly a part of this discussion, because inevitably, if we are addicted to television, it is because we are addicted to not feeling something, especially given everything I've said so far about how, like, about the negative impact. But really, we need to be thinking about the long-term effects on our mental health, our mental well-being, and our mindset if we are constantly engaging with negative media. And is this something, like, I feel like this podcast episode is going to like either really resonate with people, or people are going to like really hate me for it and like just stop listening to any episode after this, because it's very much an opinion. This is very much my opinion. But have you ever considered that? That's literally something that I want to hear. If you want to like leave me a comment, or there's going to be a poll obviously for the episode as well. If you could give me some feedback, I'd be really curious. Have you ever considered the long-term impact of the quantity and the quality of television that you are watching? Because I do constantly. And I say this as somebody who is very much a self-aware and self-proclaimed TV addict. Meaning, I've mentioned this briefly on other episodes of the podcast. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. That's just not really my thing. I try to be high on life. However, when shit hits the fan, when I feel overwhelmed or I feel afraid or I'm having a particularly difficult moment in time, my safe space is television. Now, you obviously kind of got a hint of that when I was talking about the OC. The OC is where I used to go when I was younger to escape and to feel better. And that is exactly what I do with television now. So I'm not saying that's any healthier. It isn't. It's a coping mechanism, okay? But I think that that's actually why it's so important to be having this conversation, because how many of us are using television as a way to escape, as a way to cope with the pressure and the stress of life? And then how are we doing that? Because now, granted, I use Hallmark movies, happy endings, happy imagery, happy media to self-soothe, because I want to feel better. I am actively choosing to feel better, okay? By watching television. It is not the best way to go about doing things by any means, but it is how I, it's one of the ways that I self-soothe when things get really, really tough. It's not the only tool that I have in my toolbox, but it's certainly something that I do, and I don't want to feign perfection. So we all got our shit. This happens to be mine. But what happens when you're self-soothing with something that is harmful and negative over the long term? Is that actually self-soothing, or is it more damaging? And like, have you ever felt that feeling of watching something that was like so drama-filled, so over the top, or so like aggressive or intense in content that when you stopped watching, you felt kind of gross? Like you felt almost like an energetic stickiness, like you had something on you? Have you ever experienced that before? And more than that, have you ever asked yourself these questions before? Like, have you ever engaged with this idea of maybe what I'm doing isn't actually the healthiest thing for me? Because we are being told to spend money to buy these subscription services. Like, this is the norm, Netflix and chill. And, you know, all of these kinds of things. Like, it's just a part of the fabric of the society that we live in now. And that's okay. It's okay. It is. It is what it is. Let's say it is what it is. But how does that make you feel? And are you taking the time to actually have that conversation with you, with yourself? And it's not just about the quality. Obviously, I mentioned earlier, it's also about the quantity. Are you watching an episode of something, you know, just because you want to chill for a second? Or are you watching 3 hours of something because Netflix has like the continual, like it just keeps going on to the next episode, right? And more than that, are you even watching it? Or are you watching it and like doom scrolling at the same time? Or are you watching it and like playing a game? That's me. I do that sometimes too. Like it's almost like we're in an attention economy. We're not even capable of paying attention to one thing fully. So you're distracting yourself from your distraction, which is an inherently negative one. And all of this snowballs. And then we kind of sit here and we wonder, well, why do I feel so gross? Why do I feel depressed? Why is my life kind of not looking the way I want it to look? And this is not a call to watch Hallmark movies. This is not a call to watch Gilmore Girls. I don't mean that you need to do what I do. But I do think that we, as always, need to have these conversations about self-inquiry. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Is what I'm doing adding value to my life? Now, let's sit there for a second. Do I need to constantly do something that adds value to my life? No, no. That's why we have personal development fatigue. Like, because we swung the pendulum the other way and we're all trying to like be our best selves every 2 seconds. And so no, you're not. You are going to watch television because it's what we do. I have an episode coming out next week about an experiment that I'm currently in the middle of. And I'm going to talk more about this, like about this idea of like what we do, how we take care of ourselves in modern society. And like, basically, what do we do if we don't have television? So keep an eye out for that one. But it's really interesting. Like, we're not going to constantly be reading. We're not going to constantly be developing. We're not going to constantly be learning. We're not going to constantly be doing fucking anything. But at the same time, we cannot constantly be numbing or distracting ourselves with our phone, with our social media, with our television, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what I just realized? I haven't even begun to really fucking scrape the surface because we didn't even talk about reality TV. and Christ. If there is a problem with the world, it's reality TV. So, like, because it's not realistic, and it was more so realistic, I think, when it first started. If we can, like, look back in the annals at, like, Survivor, the first couple seasons where, like, they were literally in Africa. So the season 2 of Survivor, I think, was in Africa, like in the savannah or something like that, or in Australia. I don't remember now if that was the first or the second, but anyways, or like the first couple episodes of Big Brother when we were actually doing like some kind of experiment. Reality TV has just been like a grab for social media. So people are on there just to promote whatever influencer influencing whatever thing that they have. It's just this media beast, and it all just feeds into other aspects of the problem. So television, reality TV feeds into social media. Social media is affecting our ability to concentrate. It's affecting our ability to focus. It's affecting children and teenagers' ability to read long form, seriously. And like, we already have, despite being modern, in modern times, okay, and despite being like in developed countries, we still have a huge problem in the Western world with illiteracy rates. So we really don't need any other reasons why our kids can't read, because there's already problems with them reading to begin with. Look up the percentages. It will terrify you if you look up how many children in North America cannot read, or how many people in North America are illiterate. It will scare the pants off of you. But it's all just kind of feeding into it, and it's this negativity cyclone. And unfortunately, I think this episode has been kind of a downer, but I really wanted to have this conversation because I've been thinking about it so much lately. It took me 2 months to find a television show that did not include any kind of violence or any kind of crime, hospitals, or whatever. Like, just a regular show. Just a show, I guess, just a show about people living their lives, okay? It took me 2 months. I feel like I have watched everything that television has to offer for the genre and the kind of topics and themes that I'm interested in. I feel like there's nothing left, and there's nothing being created, because even the new shows that are coming out, they are just so heavy. And like, that's the thing for me. That ends up being kind of the crux of this whole conversation, okay? I am in the middle of a personal transition. And so there are times where life feels challenging. There's a lot of things shifting in my personal life, in my business. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving pieces right now, okay? And so sometimes it feels like it can be challenging to keep on top of all of the things that I have going on. And that's okay, because it's just a period. And this will, I will move past this. I will get back to a great place. And then once I'm in that great place, things will shift again and I will have another challenge come up. And that, my friends, is life. And that's fine. Okay. But when I'm in the midst of these transitions and these periods where things feel a little bit stickier, feel a little bit more difficult, it doesn't make sense for me to sit in a space of negativity while I'm trying to entertain myself. And if you looked up the definition of entertainment, it would be, I think that, I don't know it off by heart, but I know what it is in Italian, intrattimento, and it means literally like to take yourself, like to, I can't even explain it. But anyways, if you looked up the definition, if you looked up the roots, I think it would be very interesting. But what we consider to be entertainment in 2023 is not actually entertainment. It really, really isn't. Because it's meant to like, God, I can only think in Italian now. It's meant to take us in. It's meant to make us feel something. But I don't think that something is negativity. And I think that that's the main underlying focus of most of what is being created, both in movies and in television these days. And that just makes me sad. It really, really makes me sad. So I want to encourage you to take a second to really, as always, forever, I'm always asking you to analyze your shit. Please analyze your shit. Analyze your decisions. Look at what you're doing, especially if you're living on autopilot. You get one life. One. Do you really want to spend it watching a ton of television? This is a conversation, by the way, I have with myself quite frequently. Just PS. But do you want to spend your life watching television? And do you want to spend it watching the kind of television that you're watching? Is it actually inspiring you? Is it actually helping you feel better? Or is it actually entertaining you? And then moving beyond that, I really want to focus on this idea of like, what is the impact of what I'm doing on my mental health? And I didn't even really get into this idea of like how the drama that we see play out on the television, we tend to then mimic in our own lives. How many of you, female identifying, have been on a date and you have behaved a certain way because you saw somebody do it on TV? I refuse to believe that I'm the only person. I know I've done it. Like, where I don't really know what to do. I don't really know how to behave. So I do something that's like over the top dramatic. It's happened, like, not recently, obviously, because I'm not dating now, but it's happened when I was younger, for sure. For sure. There's so many ways in which we see drama play out on television and we take it in and we internalize it. And it becomes, to a certain extent, a part of who we are. And yes, there are people who don't do this. Yes, there are people who don't have this problem, absolutely, because it's not like this affects every single person. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm definitely more susceptible than other people. But I don't believe for a second that I'm the only one. And especially, again, it goes, in this case, age, the demographic in which you belong is hugely influential. It's massively important. If you are in your formative years, if you're a teenager and you are watching anything with excessive sex, excessive drugs, excessive violence, excessive bullshit, that bullshit is going to show up in your life inevitably because it becomes normal. Because we are spending a massive amount of time in these worlds. If you take a regular season of a show, which now is about 10 episodes, they used to be 22, 24, but about 10 episodes, you're spending 10 hours in that world of drama and bullshit. That's 10 hours of your life where you are being fed a message that this is normal. It doesn't matter if you understand on a conscious level that it is entertainment or that it's fake or whatever. Your subconscious mind doesn't necessarily make the difference, doesn't necessarily differentiate between the two. So anyways, please just take a second and think. And I'd be so curious to hear if you have any vices like me, you know, if television happens to be your vice. I would love to hear how you're working through that and what you're moving towards. I would love to hear your thoughts on modern or contemporary entertainment. Like, even television shows like Friends, where have those gone? Where's a little Friends? A little TV show like Friends? There's like nothing just like fun and like, you know, just ha ha ha, just to like have a laugh. Will and Grace, like, God, television was better 20 years ago. It really was. It really, really was. It certainly wasn't as heavy as it is today. Yikes. Just yikes. I definitely have like some beef with media, and I'm sorry that that was like a huge part of this episode, but I do think that there's value in any case in this conversation. And the question that I want to leave you guys with, and then I'm going to sign off, is what do you get from consuming this kind of media? And whatever that media is, the media of your choice, whatever it is that you're consuming, whether that is television or social media or the news or newspapers or podcasts or whatever, what do you get from consuming that kind of media? And if you are about to say you're being informed, I would really encourage you to analyze that. Are you actually being informed, or are you being desensitized, or are you being manipulated? And I'm not saying that the media is necessarily completely out to manipulate us, but I do think that there are tactics that are being used, obviously, because the media is a business. So at the end of the day, they need eyeballs on their content. That's how they make their money. So I do think that there is something to be said about whether or not we're actually being informed. And then even if your answer is being entertained, are you actually being entertained? When you leave your encounters with this media, do you feel better? Anybody who uses social media, anyone at all, ask yourself that question about who you follow. Ask yourself that about your feed. Ask yourself that about how much time per day you spend on social media. Do you leave your feed feeling better, or do you leave your feed feeling worse? It's something to think about. This is a conversation that I have with myself constantly. It's why I was at Instagram zero for a really long time, because it was just wasting my time. I was wasting my time and my life on social media, and it was having a negative impact on me. It is why I do not engage with negative media in any way. In any way. I have to be ruthless about that, and I would encourage you to be the same way. I really would. At least within your limits, right? Always running everything through your filter and asking yourself what you need. So, what are you getting from consuming this kind of media? I would love to hear. And if you liked this episode, please rate and subscribe. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you on next week's episode. It's a really big one. I am going to break down an experiment that I am currently in the middle of, which has been weird and not necessarily super successful, but I'm only halfway through. So we'll see. We'll see what the rest of the week has in store for me. But yeah, I'm really keen to connect with you guys again. And if you have any questions, you know, you can reach me on Instagram at Candace Alacia, or you can always find me on my website, www.candacealacia.com, CandiceAlessia. So yeah, hope this was useful, and I can't wait to hear from you. Have a wonderful weekend. Ciao.